Good morning. Well, in 1989, there was an oil tanker that spilled off of the coast in Alaska. It was called the what? Exxon Valdez. So in 1989, it spilled off the coast of Alaska in the Prince William Sound Bly Reef is where it ran into, and it spilled 11 million gallons into the waters in Alaska. 11 million gallons of crude oil into the Alaskan coast right there. And as you can imagine, there was obviously a huge economical impact. There was an environmental impact. The cleanup was massive. It was this really, really huge deal. And because of that spill, that accident, there were some regulations that were put into place for all oil tankers that were transporting oil back and forth. And so one of those regulations was it had to have, the oil tankers had to go from a single hull tanker to a double hull. Here's what that means, is where the oil is stored in that tanker, there was a single wall that was keeping that oil from spilling into the ocean. Regulations had to make sure that they went from a single hull to now a double hull. So if this outer hull was punctured, the inner hull was still intact. Now, this revolutionized the way that the oil industry was transporting oil. And this is what we're talking about in this new series, Impress. We're not talking about oil. We're not talking about transporting oil or oil tankers. We're talking about having a single hull plan of raising the next generation versus a double hull plan of raising the next generation. Making sure that we are safeguarding our plan to raise the next generation as a church and as a family unit. So every year we do some kind of series that we really highlight and talk about the next generation and our obligation to raise the next generation to be godly young men and women. Now, church, would you agree that our culture has a plan to take our kids away from us? Would you agree with that? So we as a church, if this is your first time and maybe you're newer to our church, you have to understand and know this. And as a church, we are not a church that's going to idly sit by and let the culture do that. We actually say not on our watch. We're going to raise our kids, our grandkids, to know and love the Lord. We're going to do all we can to show our kids, our next generation, who God is. Now, before you check out, if you are someone who's single, you don't have kids, maybe your kids are out of the house right now. This message is not just for young families. This message is not just for parents of children. This message is for anyone who calls themselves a part of the church, whether that's Real Life Ministries or the Church of Jesus. We are called as a faith community to not have a single whole approach to raising our kids. A single whole approach, meaning all we do is just raise it in our home, raise our kids in our home. We are called to have a double whole approach. The church and the home partnering together, taking a stand and saying, we will not let the enemy take our kids. We will not, as a home, we will not let that happen. As a church, we will not let that happen. We can sit around and we can complain about all that's going on out in the culture and what they're teaching our kids in society and what they see on Instagram and what the news is showing. And luckily in this area, we have some schools, some educators that are not succumbing to the woke ideologies, but there are some schools out there in other areas of our little bubble in North Idaho that the curriculum that they're teaching kids is so counter-biblical, it's not even funny. We are lucky to have the educators and the schools that we have in this area, but there are schools and there are different curriculums out there that are pulling our kids fast away from the truth of God's word. And we are saying we will not let that happen here. We are gonna take a stand, we're gonna put our foot down, we're gonna stake our flag in the ground and say, not on our watch. So this is what this series is all about. How do we do this together? So up on the screen, you're gonna see this graph that's gonna pop up. And if you've been around for a little while, you're familiar with this graph. We call it our five spheres. And all this graph is looking at the different areas of our life that we follow Jesus and live out discipleship. And so that center sphere you see is our abiding relationship with God. It's simply just the relationship with God that we have through Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. As we spend time with him, as he abides in us and we abide in him, he transforms our life. And as he transforms our life and as the Spirit of God makes us more like Jesus, we then prioritize raising godly kids in the home with the partnership of the church so they can be prepared for the world and the spiritual battles that they're gonna face all around them. So this isn't just simply a home and family sphere conversation or a home and family sphere sermon series. This is for anyone who calls themselves a part of the church. If you're a young adult and you don't have kids yet, or maybe you're just newly married, you don't have kids yet, or you're a grandparent, your kids are out of the house, or you're an aunt or uncle, maybe you've never had kids. This is for you because you are part of the church, and the home and the church partnering together gives us the double whole protection of raising up the next generation of kids. And so in this today, as we talk, we're going to look at some statistics based off of the Barna Research Group. What they do is the Barna Research Company, they go around, they do all these different kinds of studies on church and home and next generation and pastors and families and kids and faith. And they compile all these studies and they come up with some really, really interesting conclusions. So, the president of Barna, his name is George Barna, and he says this. He says, in the race to win a child's heart, the first one there wins. So here's what you have to understand, is the culture is coming after our kids. They're racing after our kids. We have to be racing after our kids as well, and after the hearts of our kids, after our children. And we don't want to just take a single whole approach. We don't want our kids just to have a great relationship with the family at home, but then have a distant relationship from the church. And we don't want them to just have a relationship with the church and have a distant relationship at home with family and relatives and aunts and uncles and cousins and nephews and nieces and parents and grandparents and brothers and sisters. Like, we got to have this two-tiered approach, this double whole approach to raising up our kids, to know Jesus, to grow in Jesus, and to show Jesus to the world. So this is what we're talking about. So while the primary responsibility of the discipleship of the child is in the home, this is the primary responsibility, it is the primary responsibility of parents and grandparents to raise up godly children. It's not the only priority. It's not the only responsibility. The church plays a part in that. We're gonna talk about some extremes and how that partnership works. But we have to understand that in partnership with the home, the church is called to step up and help raise up godly men and women. So if you call yourself a part of the church, this series is for you, not just if you have kids. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, I'd love for you to open up to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, the verses are in your sermon notes. It'll also be up on the screen. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's really, really important because the context of this passage is the Israelites are getting ready to head into the promised land. And if you have time this week, which you should have time to read a chapter, read through Deuteronomy chapter 6 and everything that's going on and the whole charge to the Israelite nations of how they're supposed to enter into the promised land. But in this text, they're getting ready to head in, and the group that is being spoken to is the Israelites. First and foremost, the Israelites were formed to be a faith family, a faith community. It would be like what we would call our church now, like this faith community, this faith family that God is building up. So in that faith family, just like in our faith family, there are individual families. They're individual families that make up the family of God. And so this passage is talking first to the faith family, Israel, but it's talking specifically to the individual families through that faith family and in that faith family. So this is what's being said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." So first and foremost, love God. Philip, in his communion meditation, he mentioned this. The greatest commandment, Jesus responds, is to love God and love people. Love God, love your neighbor. These are the greatest commandments. And it's being said, this is where this passage comes from. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. So first and foremost, the key to raising up godly offspring, godly kids, the next generation, is to first have God's law, God's commands, God's promises on our hearts. God's word first and foremost. If we want to raise up godly kids, it first has to be on my heart as dad, as husband, as mom, as wife, as grandparents. It has to be on your heart. God's commands have to be on your heart if we're to raise up godly kids. So it starts with us. And it goes on to say in verse 7, this is where we get our sermon title from, impress them on your children. That idea of impressing it, making sure that it is deep within them, that we're stamping it on them, that they know it, that they understand it, that they can remember it, that they memorize God's commands and God's laws and God's word. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. No matter what you're doing, as you're driving your kids to school, we're talking about God's word. As we sit down at the table, we're talking about God's word. As we do our devotionals at night, we're talking about the things of God. Wherever we go and whatever we do, we're impressing these things on our kids' minds. It's not let's impress sports and add some Jesus. It's not let's impress extracurricular activities and vacations and school and add some Jesus. It's let's impress on them the words of God, the wisdom of God, the ways of God, and then let's sprinkle some other things on top of that. We got to get our priorities in line. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. No matter where you go, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, impress these things upon your children. Make sure that they understand the ways of the Lord. There's this guy named Dale Hudson. He says, children are like wet cement. But remember, we only have a short window of time until that wet cement turns to concrete. We must impress God's word, wisdom, and ways into their lives while we have the opportunity. We're called to impress the things of God on our kids' minds, on their hearts. So if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, impress it, impress them. Impress those things on their hearts. Read God's word to them, memorize it, talk about it, make sure they understand it. If you don't have kids, you still have nephews, nieces, cousins, relatives. There's kids right here within this church that you could be a big brother or a big sister to. Our kids' ministry, we have volunteers that are back there right now, and their goal is not just to rock your kids and make sure that you have a pleasant experience in this service. That's part of it. It's to teach them the ways of the Lord, to come alongside you in partnership with what you're hopefully doing at home and just affirming the things that you're teaching them there. It's not the church's job to raise and disciple your kids. It's to come alongside and partner with you in that. And we have volunteers that help out with that every single service. And on Mondays with our high school ministry and Wednesdays with our middle school ministry, we have a young adult ministry. We have every stage of life. We want to say, we want to walk alongside those that we are going to hand off the torch of faith to raise up the next generation so Christianity does not die on our watch. We are planting our flag in the ground and saying, not on our watch. We are going to stand firm as a church, and we are going to raise up the next generation. So in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus, and he says something that's very similar to what we read in Deuteronomy. He's writing this letter to the church. He's not writing it to individual families. He's writing it to the church to be able to teach the families this. Children, this is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If you don't think we have that verse memorized in our house, you're wrong. That's our favorite one. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Then it goes on to fathers. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. But, listen, this is the important part. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Don't provoke them. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Like, this is the number one priority of a husband, of a father, of a wife, of a mom, of a grandparent, is to bring our kids up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. All the other things, the skills they're going to develop in life to change oil in a car, to change the tire in a car, or to raise them up to have a specific skill set, to get them a job, or to be good at sports, or to get a good education, or to know how to treat a future husband or a wife, or know how to raise kids, or balance a checkbook, and all these other things that are good, they're not priority. The number one thing that we're called to do as the faith family, the church, and the home family, the biological family, is to raise kids up to know the Lord, to understand the instructions and raise them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is our number one priority. And we're doing this together as the home and the church. So what does this look like to raise up these godly kids, and how does this partnership work? I wanna read some statistics, and I read this book this last week. It's called Guiding Children to Discover the Bible, Navigate Technology, and Follow Jesus. It was put out by Barna, and it looks like this right here. I would suggest you get this. You can snap a picture of this, look it up on Amazon right now, go to Barna's website. This book, it was a super easy read, only 77 pages, chock full of statistics and a lot of helpful information on raising up kids in a technology-based world. And so I encourage you, if you are in any kind of kids ministry, youth ministry, if you're parenting, if you're grandparenting, if you are a part of the church and you want to know how to have influence and impact in young kids' lives, read this book. It won't take you that long. Here's some statistics in this book that I think are really interesting that we need to talk about. 83% of practicing Christian families. Now, they do a good job of making sure they say practicing Christian families, meaning not just those that say, yeah, I'm Christian, that's how I identify. Because 77% of Americans identify as Christians. I don't think 77% of Americans are truly following Jesus. Practicing Christian families, meaning they're giving to their local church, they're serving, they're attending, they're reading the Bible, they're actually practicing out the faith. 83% of them are very concerned, either very concerned or somewhat concerned about their children's spiritual development. 83% of families, Christian, active practicing Christian families, are concerned about their child's spiritual development, which again, I can understand because of what's going on in the world around. But then we go on to the next statistic, and it says 86% said they were concerned about their children staying true to the faith. So we have a large majority of parents. The majority of our parents are saying, I'm concerned about their spiritual practice, their spiritual formation, and also them staying true to the faith. In other words, I'm afraid that they're gonna walk away from the faith. Now, I have to start to ask myself, what causes that concern? Part of it could be the culture. Part of it could be the world that we're living in. I think every generation thought that the generation their kids were growing up in was the worst generation ever, right? Like my parents, like your generation, right? Their parents are like, well, your generation. And now I'm like, my kid's generation, right? Like, and I'm sure they'll be like, yeah, it goes on and on. So everyone thinks that the generation that their kids are growing up in is the worst generation. So I understand that the cultural impact right now that's going on and the influences are pretty gnarly. But here's what I think this next statistic actually brings some clarity onto why they have some concerns. Listen to this next statistic. 85%, and I would say this is where the church partnership begins to take place. 85% said they were concerned about their child making meaningful relationships with other children. 85% had concerns that their child was gonna make meaningful relationships with other children. And then the number one issue that engaged Christian parents see that is hindering their child's spiritual growth is peer influence. So think about this. It's not the curriculum that they're being taught at school, although there's some curriculum out there that is not good. It's not necessarily social media or the news. It's who their kids are hanging out with. You've heard the saying before, show me your friends and I'll show you your future, right? This is what we have to make sure. This is where the partnership with the church really comes into play. And I have this later on in my notes, and I want to read this now because this is so important. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, do not be misled. Don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. Don't be fooled. Bad company corrupts good character. It doesn't say the other way around. It doesn't say good character impacts and influences bad company. Most likely, if your kids are hanging around a group of people, whether you're elementary, middle school, high school, a group of kids that are gonna take them down this road, that's what they're gonna be impacted and influenced by. I was raised in the church every single Sunday. I'm gonna talk a little bit about my experience growing up here in a little bit, but every single Sunday I was in the church. I believed in God. I knew the Bible. I had all these things memorized in my head. As soon as I got into public school, I got into a crowd of kids that were all about sports, drinking, and other things. And that's the road that I went down. That's who I ended up with. That was the crowd that I ended up associating with. And I'm not saying I had the best character leading into that, and I was this awesome, clean, perfect Christian kid, far from it. But because this was my tribe, this was my crew, this is who I associated with, that's the direction I headed down. Bad company corrupts good morals. It's harder to pull someone down than it is to lift someone up. Now, this isn't to say that we just need to shelter and protect our kids from every negative influence there is in the world. I believe that we're called to raise up our kids to know, to love Jesus, to be able to impact the world around them. But if the majority of our kids' friends are not following Jesus, are not impacted by the church, are not Christian families, then that's going to be the influence that are going to most likely take them down this road. This is why we put such an emphasis on kids' ministry, youth ministry, summer camps, youth conferences, all the things that we do for youth and kids is not just to simply check a box and say we did the thing. It's to get them in relationship with other kids who agree, who believe, who are living out the faith, and with families that are doing that together. That's why we're in life groups together. That's why we have all the different marriage ministries and women's groups and men's groups so that we can be in community together, because who you associate with will determine the tribe and the direction that you're going to head in. And so if we pop back up to some of these statistics, it says 58% of highly engaged Christian parents say children's programming is the primary reason they chose their current church. 58%. Majority of parents say the reason I'm going to go to this church is because of the kids' ministry that they have, the kids' program. 61% of parents who bring their family to church. Now listen, before it said 83% of practicing families are very or somewhat concerned with their kids' spiritual development. This statistic says 61% of parents who bring their family to church weekly, every single week, are more likely to be very satisfied with their child's spiritual development. Every single week, those parents that are dragging their kids to church. Church, this was me. This was me. I had no desire to go to church growing up. I had zero desire. I mean, the church I grew up in, it was fine, except for the things that weren't fine. But it was fine. I mean, you know, as long as you didn't run in the hallways and chew gum in the sanctuary and wear a hat and, I mean, and all that, you I mean, it was whatever. But I was dragged to church. Now, every single week on Sunday morning, back on Sunday evening, and back on Wednesday evening, every week for church. Now, when we left that church, there was our youth pastor. He planted a church here in Hayden, and so we ended up going to that church. And we no longer did the Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, but we still went every single Sunday morning. And I'll tell you, until I was not only 18, but 18 and out of the house, my mom said, "You will go to church. And you will tell me where you're staying the night on Saturday night. I don't care what you did on Saturday night. On Sunday morning, you're going to church. And I will be outside the door at 8:30 and you will be in the car and we will be going to church." Every single Sunday, no matter what I smelled like, no matter what I looked like, no matter what I was wearing, no matter what was on me that night, I was in church. Now, most of the time, I was sitting in that back row and I was falling asleep. But I was at church. And as a single mom of four boys, she said, "Not on my watch. You want to stay in my house? You want to eat my food? Your butt's getting to church. Let's pray and let's dismiss," right? Like that's all. Parents, get your kids' butts to church, right? Like every week, get their butts to church. They don't have a, I love when parents say this, "Well, my kids just don't want to go." I don't care if they want to go or not. You're the parent, right? Like you put clothes on their back and food in their stomach and a roof over their head. You give them money, you drive them places, they're going to church. Get their butts to church, right? I'm off the soapbox now. I'm done. I'm getting off of that. Get your kids to church. 88% of parents want their church involved in some capacity in sensitive conversations with their child. And listen to this statistic. Now, this wasn't directly from this book, but it was based on another study that I found, and Barna, in their book, they confirmed this. But 85% of people who come to Jesus do so before the age of 18. So think about this. Think about the impact that you have in your kid's life right now. The majority of kids that will come to faith do so before the age of 18. And the statistic it goes down after age of 18, the chances of someone accepting Jesus. Now, listen, I came to know Jesus way past 18. So there's hope, because God never gives up on anyone. The prodigal son, the prodigal daughter, the prodigal grandson, the prodigal granddaughter, those that are running from Jesus. I don't care if they're 20, 30, 40, or 70 years old. God is still working in their life and God's still going after them. So it's never too late for a child to come back to Jesus, which is why we spend time praying for others every single Sunday. Pray for the lost, pray for the hurting, pray for those people. We never give up. And the reason I'm standing here today is because I had a mom and I had grandparents that never gave up. I had family that never gave up, constantly praying for me. And I will tell you this, parents, grandparents, when you think your kid isn't listening to you, they are. They might seem like they're not listening, but they are. They're hearing you. That was my story. Yeah, whatever. Jesus, God, Bible, church, whatever. And I was listening. I heard it. I didn't want to hear it, but I heard it. And the two most influential people, hands down, bar none, in my life were my mom and my grandparents. My grandparents are one, you know, they're one person. That's hands down, my mom and my grandparents. If you're a grandparent and you think, well, my time's up to, right, your time is not up. If it wasn't for my granddad modeling a faith that I can aspire to have, oh, if it wasn't for my grandmother who had this just solid faith, and towards the end of her life, all she could do was just pray. We'd go to her house and she'd just be reading the Bible and just praying for her grandkids. Until the day that they died at 80 years old, they were down on their knees praying every single day for each individual kid and grandkid to come to know Jesus. Your time is not over. Aunts, uncles, pray for your nephews and nieces. If you're in youth ministry, if you're in kids ministry, it's not just babysitting and it's not entertainment. It's helping kids know and love the Lord. If you're a part of this church, the least you can do is just pray for the kids and the next generation of this church. Your time is not over. The family of God, the faith community, so, so important. And Jesus taught that this faith community is important. And it's not just the biological family that's important. In fact, when Jesus was asked, Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, says, while he was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside waiting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak with you. So here comes Jesus, his mom, Mary, and his brothers, and hey, we want to talk to Jesus. And they go in and say, hey, Jesus, your family's out there. He replied, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus isn't putting down the biological family. He's just saying, listen, we have to understand this, that the biological family is a part of the faith family. The family of Gabe is in the family of God. It's not the family of Gabe over here and the family of God over here. In fact, the family of God is more important than the family of Gabe, because in heaven, there will be no family of Gabe. There will just be the family of God. And that includes all of you. So Jesus is saying, we have to understand there's this biological family, which is good, but there's this faith family that we have to be a part of as well. And together, we're working together to raise up the next generation, to pass on the torch of faith. So in this though, we have to avoid, there's two extremes that we have to talk about, we have to avoid. Extreme number one that we have to make sure we avoid is that it's all about church. So some people will say, I'm gonna drop my kids off at kids ministry, I'm gonna drop my kids off at youth ministry, I'm gonna drop my kids off at summer camp, I'm gonna drop my kids off at whatever sports program that the church puts on, whatever program there is, I'm gonna drop my kid off there and their job is to disciple my kid. My job is not your kid's parent. And I don't hire any people on my staff to be your kid's parent. We raise kids up in partnership with the parents and with the grandparents. So whatever you are hopefully teaching at home, God's word, God's truth, God's ways, God's wisdom, we're coming alongside, we're affirming that, we're confirming that, we're modeling that, we're another voice in your kid's life. In fact, so often it's because of all the seeds that you plant at home that when we come along and say it in a different way or say it from a different voice, they're like, oh, that makes so much sense. And then you get mad. You're like, I've been telling them this for 12 years. And you say it one time and they believe you, right? It's not because we said it. It's because you've been saying it. We come along as the church in partnership in the home. So what does this look like? It looks like devotional time with your kids. Memorizing scripture. Listen, don't just read a chapter in the Bible and say, okay, good, we did Devo time. Memorize scripture with your kids. Start with John 3:16. Start with Ephesians 6:1. Parents obey your children, obey your parents in the Lord. It's the right thing to do. It's a great one, right? Memorize scripture. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 11 says, I've hidden your words in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hide the words of God in your children's heart so they might not sin against God. Memorize scripture with them. Praying with, for, and over your kids. Don't just pray at dinner time for the food, and don't just pray at night, you know, that you'll have a good day tomorrow. Like, those things are good. Pray with your kids. Let them pray. Teach them to pray. Show them what it means to pray. Why do we pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit? Teach them to pray. Pray with them. Yes, pray for them. And pray over them. I've shared this with you before, but the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is I go to my kids' rooms and I just look in their bedrooms and I see them sleeping and I just pray over them. Father, protect them. Send your angels to guard them. Have your word be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. Send your Holy Spirit to go before them and to lead them in all truth. Allow them to change the world and don't let the world change them. Give them wisdom to know how to live in this crazy world. Mature them in every way, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and mentally. I pray this over my kids every single day when I wake up. Pray over your kids. And then model forgiveness, repentance, and grace with your kids. These are ways that we don't make it all about the church. We're modeling and we're living out discipleship in the home. But extreme number two, don't make it all about the home. See, some parents want to go, okay, it's my responsibility to raise my kids, so I'm going to do it. I got this. I don't need any help. So I'm going to, within our four walls and our home, we're going to disciple these kids. And while that's priority, and that comes before making sure that you're just dropping them off at church, it's not the only thing. This is the double hull ship that we're trying to create. It's all about the home. It's not all about the home. It's in partnership with the church. So what does this look like? It does mean that we do have a kids ministry that is not about just entertaining kids. There's nothing wrong with having fun and having joy in church. I mean, who here wants to be a part of a boring church? No one? Guys, I'll tell you this, and I'm gonna be really honest. Like, when I was asked to take over the Hayden campus, one of my number one goals was to have a church that was fun, to make a church that people actually enjoyed being a part of. That's why we have snow machines on Christmas Eve services. Like, we want to have fun. It's why we do things. We do youth games and youth retreats and all these. We want to have fun. I'm okay with having fun in church. Anyone else? You guys like to have fun in church? Good. I grew up in a church that you couldn't run in the fellowship hall because it was like some sacred ground where Jesus's bones were buried underneath or something like that. And it's like, let's be real. This place is ugly. I mean, it's like not even that nice of a place. Like, can we run a little bit and have fun? And good night. Can I chew some dang gum every once in a while? No, sacrilegious. We want to have fun. We have kids ministry. We want our kids to have fun. Youth ministry, our kids have fun. But it's not just all about fun. Our kids need to know who Jesus is more than they need to have fun. And we're going to teach them that. We have youth camps. Get your kids to youth camps. We have life groups. Our life groups. We want our kids to be a part of life groups. Every Monday when my life group meets, we have like, I don't know, 15 kids, and the adults are up in the living room and we're having our conversation. The kids are downstairs, and really there's like, I don't even know why the kids are downstairs. They're so dang loud. It's like they're upstairs, right? But we're trying to have some conversation. We want our kids to get in this habit, this routine of going, you know what? It's not like the church time over here with the adults and the kids time over here. Like, the kids are a part of this. Like, we're raising our kids to know and love Jesus and to love the church. I want my kids to love the church. I want them to not go, well, that's mom and dad's thing. No, this is a family thing. We're doing this together. Get in a life group. If you're not in a life group, you need to be part of a life group. We have moms groups. Moms, if you need support. Other moms that are in the season of life that you're in, we got moms groups. We have marriage mentors. Maybe your marriage is struggling and you need some help. We have some marriage mentors that would love to meet with you. That would love to have some conversations with you. I mean, if any of these things, if you're going, you know what, there's some things that I need help with. On that seat, in the seat back pocket in front of you, there's that card that Bree had, that decision card on the back. Just write something down to say, I want more information about dot, dot, dot. Or I need prayer for dot, dot, dot. I mean, just write that down. Let us join you in that. Let us connect you to the right places. So I started out by making this statement, reading this statement. As we abide in Christ, we prioritize raising up the next generation in our home, in partnership with the church, and we do this in order to prepare them for the world and the spiritual battle that they're face. Okay, so if that's our goal, is to have the church and the home partner together to raise up godly men and women to go into the world, shine Jesus, and fight the spiritual battle they're gonna face. These statistics that we read, there's these summary statements that this book had in this, I think, were just really, really interesting. It says this: children who are most active in church tend to engage with the Bible outside of church. So the more engaged they are in church and in the home, the more they're gonna be engaged outside, to attend church activities other than Sunday worship, to pray together with their family, and they are also about twice as likely to engage in outreach activities, volunteerism, demonstrating that the level of dedication in this group to the overall mission of the church is not only internally focused, but expresses itself outward as well. So in other words, the families that are raising their kids in the home and active in the church are two times as likely to take that faith outside the home and outside the church, to volunteer, to serve, and to go spread Jesus outside the church. This is the result of this. Then it goes on to say, making and growing young disciples is not easy, as plenty of previous Barna research shows, but churches and parents can partner to more effectively guide kids along the way. Children's ministry plays an enormous role in the lives of Christian families. The data clearly show that being a part of a family that is regular in church attendance plays a part in keeping high schoolers engaged in their congregation. Now remember, a majority of parents say that their church's programs for kids is the primary reason they chose their fellowship, and nearly half say they rely most on their church rather than themselves as the key spiritual influence in the child's life. I do not think that that is right. I just think that it's true. It's a true statistic. Most families are going, I'm gonna rely on the church to have some of these spiritual conversations. We can't do that. We're gonna partner with you. So when you're having hard conversations, or when your kids are going through something difficult and challenging, we wanna come alongside and partner and help. It's not our job to raise your kids. It's our job to help you raise your kids. That's the church. That's the double hull ship that we're creating. We're creating that barrier. So whether you are married, you're single, you have kids, no kids, kids out of the house, whatever stage of life you're in, we are called to be the church. We are called to come alongside families, young adults, older, younger. We're gonna raise up a godly generation of kids, because we're gonna be a church that says, not on our watch. The world is not allowed to have our kids. We will stand up, we will fight, we will pray, we will get on our knees, we will beg and plead, we will read scripture, we will do whatever it takes to keep our kids in the faith, so that 86% of families that are afraid of their kids' spiritual development and the world taking our kids, we will say at Real Life Ministries, not on our dang watch. We will raise them up to know and love the Lord. Amen? All right, church, go ahead and stand up with me right now. Psalm 78, verse 1, 4, 6 through 7, it says, "Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I'm saying. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands." That's what we're called to do. That's what we apply. We're staking our flag in the ground and saying, this is who we're going to be as a church. This is who we're going to be as families, so that every generation will know Jesus and pass it on to the next generation. Are you on board with that, church? Okay. We're going to pray. These guys are going to sing a blessing over all the families and all the children, and all the grandparents, all the parents that are on the front lines right now raising kids. If you're in youth ministry, if you're in young adult ministry, if you're in kids ministry, we are called to raise up this next generation. So we're going to sing this song as a blessing over our kids and over our families. And so Jesus, we love you, and we just need your help, God. We need your help in raising up the next generation. I pray that we wouldn't do it as a single single hull oil tanker, Lord. We'd be a double hull ship, needing the home and needing the church to come together as one unit, pursuing the lives and the hearts of our kids. So God, we just ask and pray for a blessing over every family, over every parent, grandparent today. We need your help. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Let's sing this out.